Hi, and welcome to the Flute Talk Podcast, where we talk about all things flute live here on Patreon. What is Patreon? Patreon is a place for fans like you to come and support creators like us. For as little as $2 a month, you can join in on this live show once a month. Plus, we'll send you the popular 5-minute warm-up for Flutists in a Hurry as a gift for being so awesome. Plus, we'll give a shout-out to all of our patrons in our podcast. This plus many more perks and tiers await you. So why not join us over on Patreon and help us continue to make great content? The Flute Talk Podcast is also brought to you by the Flute Center of New York. The Flute Center of New York has the world's largest selection of flutes. If you need to buy a flute or piccolo, the Flute Center of New York has you covered. With our code TFC at checkout, you can try up to 3 to 4 flutes for up to 10 days, have an extended 18-month warranty, and free shipping worldwide. So be sure to go to the website flutes4sale.com. So that's flutes4sale.com, flutesforsale.com. Just be sure to use that code TFC for all those perks, and a little bit of that does go our way. Another sponsor is, well, ourselves. We have a store. If you haven't noticed yet, we have a store over at store.theflutechannel.com. We have some shirts and posters and things like that over at Teespring. So you can definitely go there and get some merch, posters, whatever you'd like that we have, it will be there. You'll probably notice it under our videos. If you're interested, be sure to go to store.theflutechannel.com. That helps us out immensely. So yeah, on with the show.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, welcome to the Flute Talk Podcast. I'm Amélie.
I'm Nick. I'm a little sick today. So hopefully everybody's doing well. So let's get started.
So, yeah, if you're live and you have questions, you can leave them.
Yeah.
And so, what is our theme of the week?
Oh, it's just our end of the year thing. So we're just talking about whatever. But we have talking about our questions that are coming from Patreon.
We'll do that. We did an end of the year review video, and I like doing it. I think it's a good thing at the end of the year to look back and make new. Sometimes I don't make new goals for myself. Sometimes I'm like, oh, that goal is good. Let's just continue on that and just push more or find another way to do it or just continue.
Exactly.
You know, be happy that it went this far and just continue in that same direction.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm. So if you have, if you want to share with us your goals and your achievements and...
Yeah, let us know in that video or in this comments, as well, in the comments below on either video for sure.
Yeah, it's very... fun.
Yeah.
So we have a question from Sigurd Demizar.
Who's coming from Patreon.
Yeah.
These are all Patreon questions. If you want to have your question read on here, join us on Patreon.
Yeah. So in order to be on the live version of the podcast, you have to be a Patreon member.
Yeah. You don't even have to be watch it live. You can leave a question. We can answer it. You can watch it later.
Yeah. Well. Okay. So to have it live or to ask questions.
Yeah. Totally.
You have to be a... But then if you want to just listen to it, it's available.
It's available after, it's available after we record it, usually.
Okay. So I have the question is this. I have a question.
Let's start with that one. The middle one.
The middle one first. Yeah. Okay. By the way, since this podcast happens at the end of the year, can you walk us through how to set realistic, useful goal for 2019?
Bless you.
So sorry.
Okay.
It's the end of the year. We met a lot of people, a lot of little microbes. Okay. I think it is easier for those who are aiming going to music school audition, but non-trivial for those who just play for fun. How should we objectively review what we have done in 2018 and plan for the future? Also, things like... Should we try another type of music instrument, another teacher, another ensemble? Are we practicing enough, not enough, etc.? Okay. So, there's a lot in there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start with maybe set realistic, useful goals.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's two ways to set goals. You can set goals about results, and you can set goals... that are more about effort.
Yeah.
I think we have to be careful with result goals because sometimes we don't control the results of some things. We don't control it 100%, at least. So, and when we set goals that are result oriented, then we need to go back and be like, what are the efforts that I have to put in? Because it's not a magical thing. So sometimes I think we set goals without really thinking about the work that's involved in doing it and if it's realistic. And then we get discouraged and we stop doing it. So I think it's good to set realistic goals.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And have a plan to achieve them.
Uh-huh.
Not just, let's say we said we want 100,000 subscribers next year and we don't set a plan on how to get there. And there's things that we don't control, so we might do everything and it won't work, but we should still be proud that we did all those things, you know, and that we evolved through the process.
Yeah.
So
would you recommend like writing it in a book or in the notes, or how would how would you go about doing it?
I think a lot of people say it's a good thing to write it down because it's
something
it makes
tangible.
your thoughts clearer.
Yeah.
You know, but
Would you necessarily put it like on a phone, or would you put it on something physical that you're constantly opening, like a journal or
a book? I like having a little book. I have a lot of little books and I write in them. But also, what I find useful for myself is sharing it. Sometimes I don't write it down, but I'll tell you. And then I feel, because I talked about it with you, I had to make my thoughts clearer.
Right.
It's the same as writing it in a way. Uh-huh. But also because I tell you, I kind of feel obligated a bit more.
Okay.
Because I shared it. Now I kind of have to go the next step, or I'll be just a girl who says things and, you know, doesn't. I think sharing it with other people kind of makes us feel not obligated, but you know what I mean? Like, that we have a sense that it has to be done a bit more than if we just tell it to ourselves. It's our little secret.
Right.
If you tell other people, it's kind of okay now. And other people can help you remember your goals.
Makes sense.
You know?
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing if you have people in your life that you can help them, they can help you, and together to motivate each other. And
Totally.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that's the first part.
Yeah.
So how to set realistic goals. And yeah, that's, I think the big thing is, how am I going to get there? So if you think about that, then you might be more realistic in your goals. And maybe, yes, set results that you want to achieve, but maybe focus a bit more on the part that's the efforts. And you know, when you read about self-esteem, it's interesting because they say when you tell a kid, you're so smart, you're a genius, all those things. In fact, it's not very good for their self-esteem because you're talking about who they are, and you should put more emphasis on the effort because you don't have control on those characteristics. It doesn't empower you to be so smart in a way, you know. Right. But if you say, oh, you did your best, I'm proud of you, those types of things, you have more control over them. And yeah, I think it's because in life, what brings us results are the efforts. So we should really push towards that, you know. Plus, anyways, when we say things to kids, sometimes they don't feel like that. And then they feel they're not even, they're going to be discovered eventually.
Yeah.
So we should all try to focus on the path, I think. Well, that's my opinion.
Cool.
And I think it's easier for those who are going to music school. Probably because if you have exams, competitions, auditions, all those things.
You also have a teacher setting your or helping you set your goals.
Yeah, that's helpful. If you play just for fun, well, you can still have goals. You can put goals of, let's say, practicing 30 minutes five times a week. That's already a goal in itself.
Right.
Then you can set other goals like improving your sound or learning all your scales. A thing that could be interesting is either get a method that has, like, we're finishing our method at last very soon, our first book, you know, so you can go through it and feel, okay, I did the first year of that program. Or sometimes online you can find the RCT exam examination requirements, and so you can see, okay, I think I'm grade 3, let's say, and I'm gonna do the stuff that's needed for that. Even if you don't do the exam, you can even just record yourself at the end and be like, oh wow, I made, like, recording yourself and keeping it until the next year can be a good thing. It's funny because sometimes I set goals more linked to the school year, because that's how I work with my students mostly. We do a concert at the end of the school year in June or end of May. So you can also do that, you know, do that.
Sure.
And then start a new year. But some people don't necessarily take a year to make a year of those programs. For some people, it's going to take a little bit longer or a little bit less longer. So once you feel that you achieve, you've achieved a certain mastery of that, you can go to the next one. And then,
yeah,
but maybe it's a good thing to have a book where you write what you're doing. So you go back, and I have a student yesterday who told me, wow, we've been working together for not even a year and I did all that progress. You know, it's fun to go back and look and be, oh, all that worked paid off, you know,
totally.
It's motivating. How should we objectively review what we have done in 2018 and plan for the future? Yeah, I think if you go back, check in your notes, or if you record yourself and you have dates and you can be like, oh, or just play stuff that you played a year ago and see if it's easier.
Right, yeah.
You know, is it getting easier? Was I able to play all those notes last year, or was I blocked at this note and then the sound wouldn't come out? Or can I play longer when without breathing, stuff like that? It's pretty, you know. Try another musical instrument. It all depends, you know, if you want to push in one instrument and become, because we have 24 hours in a day, you know, and so do you want to be a virtuoso in one instrument, or do you want to play many instruments but maybe play them with less mastery? Or it all depends on your goals, right, on what you want to achieve, you know. And also another teacher, it all depends as well, because if you're happy with your teacher, maybe you'll want to do some little master classes here and there, but maybe you'll want to keep one teacher, because it all depends. If you feel that maybe you're not learning as much anymore, and you might need someone that says things another way.
Yeah, exactly. But
if you feel that that person is giving you clear goals and helping you organize your practice and all those things. But you're the client there, so you shouldn't be, you should feel empowered to make changes and try other people. And sometimes having two teachers at a time can be a bit difficult, because the jungle, they'll give you two different paths, and you can't be on two paths at once. I think it might be easier to do something with one, and then, but it all depends what you're looking for and how old you are and how organized you are. It's another ensemble. Yeah, playing with other people. And also, you know, you can find places to play for people. Either some people play in their church or in community
groups.
Events or groups.
Yeah.
There's a lot of band and all types of places to play. And also another thing we rarely think about, but I think it's something that brings so much joy, is going and playing in nursing homes. 'Cause older people love music. They don't have that much going on usually. And I have a student who does that, because her father has Alzheimer's, and she goes and plays music for them, for all the people who live there at the center where he lives, I think once a month. And the people love it, and she feels very happy about it too. It brings her a lot of joy, because I think it's a good way to bring joy with music. And you know, once you know your piece, you can go and play it there. It's not a stressful environment, and it's a I was thinking about that the other day, and I was thinking that's a good way to find a place to play. People will be happy to have you and have an activity for their their also, residents, you know.
Also, just an activity for other musicians. You can find other musicians and just play for your own. We forget that it's also just, you can just play for your own well-being and for your, the ones with your, like a quartet or a quintet or something, or duet or whatever.
I feel sometimes people like to show what they've done. Yeah, there's a sense of accomplishment once you play it in front of other people.
Because, I don't know, because I know like Einstein and all those people, they just had, you know, sight reading every couple days, and his friends just came over and they just played. With no intention to make a concert.
Yeah, some
just to play.
It all depends, you know?
You could also make it something social. If it could feed you that way, too.
But you can also play for your family and friends. Yeah, totally. You can learn with two or by yourself or with two or three other music friends and say, we'll make a dinner and invite our friends and play our piece for them. It takes 30 minutes, and then we have, you know, there's different ways to make it happen so that you feel, I've learned this piece, I've performed it, I'm happy, and then let's go to the next one.
Yeah, and there's a lot of musicians out there that are looking for people like you, you know, and wanting to play. So Facebook groups or on Twitter or any of those types of things, you can make a call out, even on Craigslist or whatever.
Yeah.
People who just want to play and, you know,
Yeah, and we think it has to be something. Sometimes we have a preconceived idea of what a concert should be, but playing a nursing home, playing for friends, playing in, there's plenty playing of ways to do it, you know. Yeah. It can be in a living room. It doesn't have to be in a concert hall.
No.
Musicians used to play in living rooms all the time, you know.
And they still do, exactly.
Okay, so that's, are we practicing enough, not enough? Well, I don't know that, you know. It's all about how much time you have, and I think how consistency is good. Being able to play if you can almost every day, or but skip days sometimes, you know?
Right.
I think even 6 days a week is enough.
Yeah. Even recently I've been really just researching about sleep and how sleep can affect performance. And there's a lot of interesting stuff that's been studied and been pretty much proven to work, and like sleep is really important to help having a consistent schedule while you're learning something, and sleep can be very, very, very useful for the body and for the mind.
Yeah, but there's been research for a long time. I remember when I was studying, like maybe 20 years ago, reading an article about they were making people learn I think it was words.
Yeah.
Like 30 words. And some people had to just sit there and play cards, and another group had to go and sleep, and the group who slept had retained way more information than the group who stayed awake.
Right, exactly. But I like your idea of consistency. It's really good.
Because when you sleep, your brain cleans itself, that gets rid of toxins, and it also rearranges the data, and it does a lot of stuff.
It's crazy. In fact, it compresses it. Like, it compresses it to make it more efficient and puts it away, and that way when you go back to the piece of music or whatever you were doing, you actually can reattain it quite faster. In fact, you learn it, you actually can play it way better than the day before while you were learning it, when you were doing it slowly. It's because the brain just is working, it's doing its stuff, so it's not magic. It's just this, you're putting in the input. It's a machine, right?
But you have to be patient with your brain. And that's how I tell that to my students,
with the brain.
My little ones that I teach in school. And sometimes I teach them something and I see in their eyes, they're like, I'm never going to get that. And I say, you remember when I taught you that other thing? I saw the same thing in your eyes. You looked like, I'm never going to get that. And now it's easy for you. I say, just trust your brain.
Yeah.
You'll go to bed. You'll sleep. Your brain will do its thing, and then next week we'll do it again, and it's going to be easier, and in 2-3 weeks you'll do that, you know, like it's nothing.
Yeah.
But it's, you have to trust your brain, because I think if you get stressed, then you don't learn as well.
Yeah.
And you don't sleep as well. And yeah. Just trust your brain and do what you have to do and go to bed.
Right. I guess not that now, you know. Sleeping is just forced patience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the tool of sleep is to force you to be patient with the things that you just did. Instead of overthinking and all those things, you go to bed and it stops. And it starts doing those things in the background and actually clean. Because stress, like you said, stress and all those things, it doesn't help that learning process.
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, for the last few weeks I've been saying, we tend to say try harder. And I listened to a meditation podcast where they were talking about try softer. And I think your idea of sleeping goes with the try softer.
Yeah, sure.
Of course, you have to work in order for it to work. Like, mm-hmm. If you're not trying to learn it, when you go to sleep, your brain will have nothing to process, you know? Yeah. But it's a way to try softer and be calmer, because it's not by trying harder that you'll learn better. Stress is very bad for the brain and for memory and for learning. So just try to be happy and do it with the happiness. And okay, I have another thing. That's Sigurd again. I have another thing comes to mind. Now is the winter season, and a lot of people unfortunately catch some types of flu or cold. Do you have any tips for practicing when you are sick? I think if the cold only asks a week, we can stop practice and rest. However, what should we do if we have prolonged respiratory issues such as long-term cough?
Well, we're not doctors.
That's tough.
I'm literally a living embodiment of this question. Drink a lot, rest, you know, rest as much as you can. If you have to practice, practice 10 minutes or something, or practice until you don't, like, I know sometimes when I play, my cold or whatever disappears and I can play.
That's a very funny thing.
But it's
with music.
Sometimes I know some people it just doesn't work, but for a lot of people it does. And
I think some parts of the brain they shut down when you play music.
Yeah, perhaps.
Because I remember having a terrible cough like a few years ago, and just nonstop. My abdominals were hurting. I was coughing so much, but I had a concert, so I had to play. But when I was playing, I would not cough.
Yeah.
But right when I would stop, it would start again.
That'd be a cool video to do. We need to befriend some neuroscientists.
Same thing when I was a teenager, I had a lot of migraines.
Yeah.
And when I would play the flute, while I was playing, no pain. Mm. And the second I would take my flute down, the pain would come back, but sometimes with even more, the first few seconds were horrible, and then it would go back to normal.
Yeah.
But no pain when I was playing.
We should definitely do a video about that. That'd be really cool.
We should, go through a machine,
an MRI machine, to see if anything happens.
And understand why is that happening that.
Why?
Yeah.
But and does it improve performance? Does it make performance less? You know, really analyze also the playing too, like record it. I have an idea for that. That'd be cool.
But it's not easy, but rest.
No, it's not
and
easy.
Also, if you have to learn something and you don't feel good taking up your flute and stuff, you can learn the piece by reading it without your flute. And listen to it. Yeah, there's other ways to learn it. And then when you'll take your flute, it's going to be a bit faster, so you might have to practice a little bit less with the flute.
Exactly.
And, take vitamin D in the winter.
Vitamin D, vitamin C, too, a little bit. Also honey, but, like, don't play the flute after you drink some honey or eat some honey, because it tends to leave stickiness in the flute. Yeah. But make sure your mouth is rinsed and stuff before you play.
Because vitamin D... if you live in a place like where we live, vitamin D is made by your skin when you're under the sun.
Yes.
So we don't get vitamin D in the winter, and it's very important for the immune system.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing to have like 1,000 units a day.
Yeah, 1,000 milligrams. Yeah.
No,
milligrams?
They call it units.
IU. Okay, IU or UI. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You're
that's
right.
That's like what you're supposed to get, I think. And that's a good thing for the immune system. And eating well and sleeping and exercising, but not over exercising.
No, because that can actually make it worse.
For me, it makes me sick. When I'm too tired and I exercise, I catch something after.
Yeah. Get plenty of sleep, too. Sleep can really help make you feel better the next day. Even if you take like a nap, sometimes when I take a nap after a while, I'm sick for like an hour, I actually feel a little bit better when I wake up.
Yeah.
Quite.
And you're right about honey. It's been proven to be very efficient against cough.
Yeah.
Even more than the syrup you get at the pharmacy.
Yes.
Yeah. And for the sore throat, propolis.
It's good.
It's made by the bees as well.
Yes.
And you can spray it, and it's very efficient.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Okay. Last question.
I have a question for Emily out of curiosity. Where you were studying the flute, both at the beginning and in music school, were the lessons taught in French? Yes, mostly.
I'll finish reading the question.
I'm curious if there are differences in English flute instructions and in other language. Here is a more concrete example. In Trevor Wise's books, he describes tone color in yellow and purple. I doubt the French will translate Trevor Wise's book. Instead, they have their own flute book that describes the concept of tone color differently, not purple and yellow. If so, how do they describe it? In general, I am very curious about how these kind of more abstract concepts, such as tone color, articulation, breathing, phrasing, expression, is explained in a different language that makes sense in that culture. That's a very interesting super question. Interesting.
What French book are they talking about?
I don't know. I guess...
I don't know either. I've never even grasped... Everybody here reads that book.
Well, yeah. Including the French people here. We are in Quebec.
Yes.
Which is part of Canada, which is very close to the United States. And
it's in fact like part of it, yes. Part of mainland Quebec is in mainland United States.
It's not part of United States.
No, but I mean like physical land connection.
It's part of the same very close continent, is what I'm saying. But it's not part of the country. It's a different country. But whatever. We speak French, but we're so close to the United States that a lot of musicians that studied abroad went in United States, and a lot of people went also in Switzerland and France, and so we kind of have a melting pot here a little bit. So we have both the American stuff and the French stuff that are next to each other, I would say. So we do use the Trevor White book. But we also use Moïse and Tafanel Gobert, but I think in the United States, too, they use it. But it's true that when we describe tone colors, I never heard it in French described as yellow and purple, but except from Trevor Y, I heard that, and no one else I heard that from them. My teacher, my first teacher, who was very good, he used to say transparent, you know, or dark. For tone colors, and or he would say for articulation, crispier, or he would get those types of words. Most of my teachers, my principal teachers, were all speaking French. Some of them studied in France, but I did master classes with American flutists as well, so I've had both. But, yeah, like for tone color, I think it's a bit... The way we teach music and the flute, we use a lot of images to describe concepts that are abstract. But the problem with images is that an image that is clear for me might not be interpreted the same way for you. And, in fact, tone colors are just timbre. Because in music, you have rhythm, you have... the height of the note, how do you call that? The
interval?
No.
I'm tired.
You have rhythm, the height of the note, then the dynamics, and the timbre. Timbre is the color, but the real term is timbre, and you can change the timbre on your instrument by changing the vowels in your mouth. So I also had a teacher who would, instead of using colors and saying transparent, and he would just say, change the vowel and use a here, and use a ah, and use a u, you know. And I've had teachers who would just say, give it more more timbre, just more timbre, less timbre, you know. And I had a teacher who would make me work dynamics and timbre. Let's say he would make me play piano with a transparent timbre and then with a dark timbre.
Mm-hmm.
And then forte with a transparent timbre and a dark timbre. So I could make the difference between dynamic and timbre because we very often associate them. So, but by making them separate concepts, we can make our playing even more interesting, I feel. Because we can mix those things and then get even more colors out of it. It's like mixing the colors on your, for a painter, on your little color pad, you know? So that's it for those questions.
Yeah, that's it, I think. So yeah, usually we answer questions on from our Patreon users, like Patreon patrons and producers and all those people. So you definitely can consider doing that and joining us over on Patreon. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you get to join us live or hear your questions live or any of the perks that you want to get over there. You can check it out at patreon.com/theflutechannel.
Yeah.
All that stuff is in the description if you're watching this. And if you're listening to this, this is all in the show notes on the podcast. Yeah.
Yep.
It's a lot of fun.
So
we're definitely going to do another one. We do it once a month right now. So the next one will be January, last week of January, on the last Sunday of January. That's when we usually do them. But we will be starting off the new year with a lot of stuff. So, yeah, it's going to be cool. We're going to have some cool videos and stuff like that. If you haven't watched the most recent videos that we've been doing, the year in review, and also the Amazon one, which is great.
Yeah.
A lot of people are liking that. That's really a lot of fun. If you haven't seen that yet, that would be cool if you saw that. Gave it a like or gave it a comment. And yeah, like I said, there's a check out our store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're looking for a flute, you can use our code TFC
at
the Flute Center of New York.
That's right.
And you get perks, and we also, it helps us out.
And you can go in and see them at flutesforsale.com, the number 4, flutes for sale. And also, if you want lessons with Emily, you can also email us at info@theflutechannel.com. I know somebody just this morning, asked about it and wanted to have lessons. So we reached out to them, and hopefully they'll reach out back. You've been doing lessons for quite a while now. As you mentioned in the year in review video,
You're
really into it now. Even last night,
Somebody
was asking about Skype and how is the quality and all that stuff. It's fine. And also, there's other services, too, that we can use with you if you want the quality to be even better, because it's almost limitless
of how
good you can have the reaction with you and with the student.
And the students do a lot of progress, so it does
it's
work.
Crazy.
The
it's proof amazing. Is in the pudding, They continue to have lessons because they feel that there's progress, you can definitely talk to us about that as well, so that's pretty cool. Yeah, so that's it for today. Hopefully we'll see more of you, and thanks for all the questions. We'll see you guys in the comments, and we'll see you next time on the Flute Talk Podcast. See you, everybody.
Bye.